Your Bibles, and let's turn to Mark chapter number 10. Stand briefly. One more time, we'll read the scripture. Mark chapter 10. We're a little late, and I promise we're not going to go late tonight because we have the stuff, the all that's going on with family nights, so we're not going to go late. This summer, for a few weeks, we're talking about marriage and family. We're calling it, It's Never Too Late for Happily Ever After. And last week, we looked at God's divine order for the family, which is God first, marriage second, children third. And we talked about that just a little bit. Of course, one of the chapters we used last week was Psalm 127. Verse 1 says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. If God's not the one who's building our families, our houses, we're going to have trouble. And so we need his help, all of us. Mark chapter 10 and verse 5. Tonight we're going to talk about mostly happily, definitely ever after. Okay, that's how marriage should be right there. We'll explain that in a little bit. Verse 5 of Mark chapter 10 says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, For the hardness of your heart he wrote this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's pretty point blank, and we'll leave that alone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for tonight. I pray you'd bless our few minutes here. As we look a little at marriage, and I pray that you just speak to our hearts, help us in any area in which we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll talk fast, you listen fast, and we'll still be here a long time. This summer we're looking at family. We're going to look at marriage, family, and children. The problem with marriage and family is not the institution itself, and we gave you some statistics last week, how society just seems to be down on it. It's God's idea, so it's not a bad idea. The problem is with how it works out. That's what causes the issues. There are two ways to do anything in life. One, man's way. Two, God's way. If we do it man's way, it doesn't work out. If we do it God's way, it seems to work out just fine. Often we have problems because we come into our relationship unprepared and with unrealistic expectations. Most of us in here are not second or third generation Christians. What I mean by that is we did not come from Christian families. So therefore, you know, our family, the family we're having is really the first generation. I was not raised in a Christian family. My mom and dad separated, broke up when I was 5 years old. And so I grew up in a single parent home, and that's just, I'm not first generation. And so a lot of people talk about, you know, I came from a dysfunctional family. How many ever heard that, right? Let me just tell you something. The secret is out. They're all dysfunctional. Okay. We have a Christian family, but sometimes I definitely feel it's dysfunctional. Especially when you have as many children as we have, it's definitely dysfunctional and it's a challenge. But that's because we're human. But even though it may be that, we can have the kind of families God wants us to have. If we didn't come from a Christian family, we may not have seen it modeled. If we came from a broken family, we definitely did not see it modeled correctly. And so some of us, if we're going to have the kind of family God wants us to have, we're going to have to learn it. And that takes a little effort on our part. What happens is sometimes we expect our marriage to go the same way that our courtship period went. By the way, before you're married, you get the best, okay? Not saying afterwards you get the worst, but I'm saying you're living together now, so you get the whole nine yards. You know, it's like now we're living together. It's not like, you know, we went out, we had a great time at dinner, you know, and now you go home, I go home. Hey, it's wonderful. No, you're both going home to the same place. And so you've got to kind of work at it. The way we've grown up, and we maybe didn't understand the dynamics of a marriage being together and what it takes. By the way, people just, you know, here's naive. Well, you know, love is just all we need. We'll live on love. Well, you know, you might want to have dinner too. Yeah, you might want to have a clean house, and you might want to be able to pay the bills, okay? So, yeah, love's not enough. It's a start, okay? It gets you there, but there's a lot of stuff that have to happen. And so what happens, our expectations for each other are a little bit skewed. Someone has said that a man marries a woman hoping that she never changes, and she does. A woman marries a man hoping she can change him or he'll change, and he doesn't. That's how it works, all right? And so we need to understand it. Now, let me, before we get into this, a couple things I want us to understand. If you're not married yet, I would encourage you, learn all you can, okay? Learn all you can. Now, you know, it's like, now's the time to learn. If you're single and you're married, or now's it, look it, that's like saying, I'll learn how to swim when I'm drowning. Okay, that's a bad example for marriage. Let's back off of that one. That's like saying, that. How would you like a surgeon that preps you and you're laying on the table and he says, now, I didn't personally learn this in college. I think I better start now. And he pulls out a book, Surgery for Dummies. Okay, how many of you be excited about that? I wouldn't be excited about that. The most foundational thing other than your relationship with God is going to be your family and your marriage relationship. And many people walk into it unprepared. And I think we ought to learn a little bit what God says so that we are prepared. And if you are married, let me say this. Things can always be better. You say, I think we have a good marriage. Great. It can be even gooder, okay, if we just follow God's precepts. So if marriage is going to be mostly happily and definitely ever after, what are some of the issues we have to deal with, or what are some things we need to understand? First of all, we need to understand God's plan. God's plan. Jesus laid it out here. We kind of looked at a different aspect of it last week, but we're going to look at it this week. God's plan. If you read the verses here, you can boil down what God wants us to have in a marriage really to one word. What is that word? Well, some would say, is it romance? No. Romance doesn't happen 24/7. Is it flowers? No. Flowers are for when you did something stupid. Okay, then you send flowers and like, hey, I'm buying you off. That doesn't work either. Although flowers are a nice gesture. You know, is it love? Love's a part of it, but love's actually defined wrong. Is it just determination? Bless God, we're going to do it. Okay, that doesn't sound exciting, does it? Here's the word, commitment. God's plan for us in a marriage relationship is commitment. Now, that doesn't sound romantic at all. There's a great old evangelist of the 90s, early 90s, the mid-90s, and his name was John R. Rice. One time his wife was with him, and she looked at him, and she said, John, why do you love me? And he looked, if you know him, he was kind of like point blank. He looked at her and said, God commanded me to. She said, wow. She goes, that doesn't turn me on. He goes, that'll never turn me off. Now, that doesn't sound romantic, but I'll tell you what, if he's going to fulfill it because God said it, it's going to be long term, though. See, commitment, we don't like that. Doesn't sound exciting, but that's what it takes to make a great marriage. It takes commitment. Many people will say, show me a relationship that will work, and I'll get in on it. Where God's formula says, commit to your relationship, and I'll give you a relationship that will work. The reason we struggle in all of our relationships, particularly marriages, there's no commitment anymore. It's just like as long as we have the feeling, as long as things are going okay, it's all right. But at the first sign of a problem, I'm going to grab a parachute and jump. We don't need that. Many marriages today suffer from what we would call conditionitis. They put conditions on the relationship. That's like I said, prenuptial agreements are just dumb. They're just, how can you tell somebody, I love you, I want to marry you, I'm committed to you, this thing's going to be for the rest of my life. Now, can you sign here, just in case it doesn't work, I want to keep my boat. That's not going to work. Okay, it's commitment. There's no conditions involved in a relationship. What are some of the things that in the verses here we saw that are involved in this commitment? I want you to notice that he said that we're different. He said in verse 6, but from the beginning of creation, God made them female, made them male and female. We're different. By the way, the person you start living with after you get married is probably a little bit different than the person you were courting or dating. They took a survey. They asked, they figured out what percentage of married people actually married someone who turned out to be completely different than who they thought they would be. The percentage was 100. Of course they're different. We're just different. And by the way, difference is good. But what our society tries to do is make everybody the same. I know it's not popular, but I don't care what Caitlyn Jenner says. Men are men and women are women, and they're different. They act different. They think different. It doesn't mean that a man is better than a woman or a woman is better than a man. It's just a reality. God made us different. We ought to understand. Listen, and by the way, whatever God made you, be excited about that. If you're a lady, be glad you're a lady. You don't want to be a man. And if you're a man, be glad you're a man. Don't want to be Bruce Jenner, okay? Be glad. Listen, not one is better than the other. But we are just different. And the fact of the matter is, we're trying to, no, I'm going to be. And it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So we have to understand our differences. We expect our spouse to be exactly like us in every way, shape, or form. My wife isn't going to be like me, and I am not going to be like her. And that's okay. We think differently. We act differently. But differences are good. That's what draws us to each other. I was going to say drawed. That's what draws us to each other. And this is probably a bad illustration, but I like the Twilight Zone. There's one I saw years ago. I haven't seen it in a long time. And there's this guy, and he's a sour guy, and he's just like, and he can't get along with everybody. And he's just real sour, and he doesn't really like people. He says, man, I wish everybody was like me. You know how the Twilight Zone works out. Guess what happened? He woke up the next day, and everybody was him. Every guy looked exactly like him. Every lady looked like him with the wig on, and they all acted like him. And after a day of that, he said, man, I don't like this anymore. But how would you like if your wife acted exactly like you? Help that house. How would you like it, ladies, if your husband acted exactly like you, okay? Let him be a man, and let your wife be a lady. By the way, ladies, don't feminize your sons, okay? Well, my little son needs to be, no, he doesn't. And by the way, this whole thing is so ridiculous. If you have kids, come on. I don't care if they had some television special with somebody wants to change what he is. That doesn't change it, okay? Our children, the boys always acted different than the girls from the time they were babies. And by the way, now we have grandchildren, and we have two that were born 2 months apart from each other. When Ellie's over our house, she acts like a little girl. Yeah. When Jason's over the house, he acts like a little boy. He growls and does little boy stuff. Okay, we didn't have to teach him to be a boy. We didn't have to teach her to be a little girl. That's what they naturally are. And that's okay. But we need to understand our differences. See, what we want, we want, wives, you want your husband to act like you in some things, but in other things, you want him to act like a man. And so you try to keep him from acting like a man sometimes, but the time you want him to step up and act like a man, you get mad at him if he doesn't, and he's not because last time you didn't want him to. I hope you got that because I think I'm confused. Same thing with guys with the ladies. Someone has said you wanted to marry a man in a lady's body. No, she's a lady. That's a good thing. So understand our differences and still be committed. And also understand this. He mentions here about, in a roundabout way, about divorce. Verse 7, for this shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Now, before they say this, let me give a disclaimer. Our society and the way things are, some of you have been divorced before. We're not hammering on you for that. Whenever we talk about divorce, what we're talking about is right now. We can't change the past, but we can make sure that we're on board for the future, okay? And we're talking to some of you that aren't divorced and you're thinking about it. And so we need to understand, when you walk into that relationship, think it through and make a lifelong commitment to it. our society, particularly those who do not know the Lord, think that there's a back door. By the way, if you have that thinking, you're going to take that back door one day when things get tough. But if I'm in this and I'm committed for the long haul, when a problem comes, I don't say, oh, I better bail out. I'm like, how do we fix this? And you can fix it. And by the way, both of you know the Lord and you love the Lord, you can get through it. You can get through it. But just don't put that out. What happens is, there's a lot of things I can say. We don't have a lot of time, so I'll just move on. And by the way, some of you, just throw this out for free, and you can take it for whatever it's worth. But sometimes people want a divorce because you know what they're thinking? I want somebody to, I think if I get someone different, it'll be better. Can I just tell you something? They're all the same. In other words, there's going to be the same struggles. You're still going to have to get over them. And by the way, a person is usually attracted to the same type of person. So what you'll do is, I'm going to leave this one and get someone better, and then you're attracted to the same kind of person you did before, and you have the same situation, and you got to work it out. What are you going to do? Just keep changing them? It's better just to be committed and say, let's work this out. Let's get through it. But we want a person's strengths without their weaknesses. That's not fair. Okay? We expect one person to understand our weaknesses, but yet we won't understand that they have weaknesses. And so we get in this thing where we start dwelling on their weaknesses instead of dwelling on the fact that they have way more strengths. And you guys, I'll just, you know, there's a lot of stuff I could throw out here, but let's hope it sticks. You know, you marry her and you want her to give you children, and then you're a knucklehead and you start comparing her to some lady at work that doesn't have children. That's not right. And by the way, mister, you ought to look in the mirror too. You're not doing very well. Okay, you're getting a little older too. Okay. Anyhow, that was free. And then the last thing underneath what it takes to be committed is direction. And they two shall be one flesh, so that they're no more twain, which is two, but they're one. That's how close you ought to be, that in everything you're one. You're together. Same direction. Going together. We're bonding, and we called it last week weaving together, but there's more than that. You stay. What happens is couples say, you know, we've grown apart because we don't realize that in order to not grow apart, it takes effort on our part. See, when we're trying to chase her down, we're doing everything we can to get her. Then once we get her and we're married, we don't work on a relationship anymore. And you will grow apart. Listen, once you get married, you ought to be working on that relationship so it gets closer and closer and closer and closer. The longer you're together, the closer you ought to be. Now, you don't have that honeymoon type love where everything's touchy-feely and all emotional and all that stuff. But you have a deeper, more connected on every level type of love. But that takes commitment. We need to work on it. Number two, let me say, what happens is if we allow ourselves to start growing apart, what happens is then we pull back on our commitment to each other. The sad thing is sometimes when couples are struggling, and I've dealt with enough in the time I've been in the ministry, they start pulling their commitment away from each other. You can call them in the office and say, listen, this marriage can work out, can actually be great and can be better. But you guys got to be recommitted to each other. And sometimes it gets to that place where they're like, well, I'm waiting for them to commit. And then the other one's saying, well, I'm waiting for them to commit. I'm not going to get hurt anymore. I'm not going to try. Listen, if neither one will commit, it's done. There needs to be somebody when it's struggling to say, you know what? I care enough about this relationship that whether or not you are, I'm jumping in. I'm going to commit. I'm going to try to make this thing work. But that's what pulls away when we start. So instead of us being connected, when we start to pull away, then our commitment starts to falter. And that's the thing that makes a marriage work. Number two, we see man's failure. Verse 9, he goes, wherefore what therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Not God. Where's the failure? It's on our part. It's on our failure. God how marriage started is God created Adam and all the animals. And Adam's running the earth, and he's got all the animals, and everything seems to be wonderful. And God looks and says, it's not good for Adam to be alone. He's not complete. Even the animals had partners. And he said, he's not complete until he has a partner. There was something inside of him that he needed a wife to be complete. And he gave him a wife. And that's their marriage relationship. God put it together. And by the way, it still works. I don't care if we attack it. You look at our secular and our entertainment-driven culture, it has attempted to redefine marriage and romance. And what it has done is made it some kind of emotional thing that cheapens it. Marriage is not emotions, because emotions come and go, okay? Listen, when the alarm goes off in the morning, I don't love anything, anybody, nothing. I love the pillow. It's like, are you saved when you get up? Sometimes I wonder. Do I want to be married when I get up? No. No, I don't want to be married. I don't want nothing. But it's okay. That's emotions. Once I get up and a couple gallons of coffee in the system, man, I love everybody. Okay? I love God. I love my wife. I love your dog. I love the devil. I love all of it. There's nothing coffee can't fix. But it's emotions. And so we've made this relationship some flowery, emotional, and I've talked about it, and our last message is going to be, you know, marriage isn't Instagram. It doesn't work that way. Marriage is a lot of small things working together. But we're looking for the big, happy, emotional thing. It ain't happy and it ain't emotional. But what are some of the things that we have to fight that causes a failure? We have to fight the flesh. See, we all have this strong will. And it stands in the way of a peaceful relationship. We all do. Oh, but you don't understand. I've met this girl, and she's so quiet and so meek and so sweet. Brother, she's gonna have a strong will like everybody else. And we have to fight it. Okay? You have a strong will. You got to fight it. It's like I heard this illustration. There was these two neighbors. They were talking about this wedding that had taken place. And this guy said, I went to a wedding last week. My buddy got married, but I don't think it's going to last. He goes, why? What makes you think it's not going to last? He goes, well, during the ceremony, when he said, I do, she said, don't talk to me like that. Okay? We all have that kind of will. We want our way. We want what's best. We want what is best for us, especially early on in a relationship. You ask a couple sometimes, and you know, what attracted you to her? What attracted you to him? You listen. Most of the answers are self-centered. Well, you know, what attracted me to me? She's beautiful. Oh, so you like to look at her. What happens when she, in 30 years when you're married and she's still beautiful, but she's not 20-year-old beautiful? And you're going to be looking at the secretary at work. Well, you know, she has all, or he has all the character qualities, the qualities that I've always wanted. Oh, so it's about what they have for you. Now look, get somebody that has good qualities. And get somebody that you're attracted to. But if all your reasons are all around what they're going to bring to you, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Because marriage isn't about you. If it's gonna work, it's about the other person. It's a paradox of life. The way to get what you really want out of a marriage is to not seek to get anything out of it, but to give to it. I hope you got that, because I can't say it again. I don't even know what I said. If your goal is to make your wife happy and all those things, you know what happens? You find that what you've wanted comes right back to you. But what we do is we sit back and say, well, am I going to get it? Am I getting it? Am I going to get what? Where's my emotional tank being filled? Well, are you filling their tank? The way to get your tank filled is to fill their tank. We need to understand that. Our flesh always wants its own way. Former President Dwight Eisenhower said, there's only two things necessary to keep your wife happy. The first one is to let her think she's having her way. The second is to let her have her way. Either way, she wins, guys. Next, another problem, man's problem when it comes to marriage is our emotions, and we already mentioned it. We allow our emotions to drive the relationship, and I already mentioned that. We can't do it. And the last thing is this, our expectations. To be honest with you, we're just really unrealistic in what we expect from our relationship. We think it's always going to be emotional high. We think there's never going to be a problem. No, marriage isn't always about the emotional highs. Oh, you know, I'm thinking about the times that we go away together for the weekends. No, that's how many weekends a year. Hey, what about the time you both come home from work and you're just tired? And there's nothing going on, but it's just being there for each other. I think that makes a marriage more than going away for the weekend. Okay? We want all these unrealistic, well, you know, they're not blah, blah, blah. Unrealistic. By the way, quit watching the nonsense on television. That's what's really killing you. Those people aren't realistic. And by the way, if you want to do a little study, check how their marriages are doing in real life. Not very good. Unrealistic. You have to realize you're marrying a human being that has weaknesses, that has frailties, and if you're not in it to help them in their time of need and totally give yourself to them, you're not ready to be married. I don't think most people that get married are ready to get married. I don't think I was ready to get married when I got married. But I'm glad we were both mature enough in the Lord and we were committed to each other. It's a good thing. And let me say the last thing is this. Scripture gives the possibility of success. So many negatives with marriage in this society in which we live. But you know, it's a great institution. If we understand it correctly, if we're willing to be committed and put into it, it's a good thing. I couldn't imagine not being married. We've been married now since June 1st, 30 years. My wife was 6 when we got married, and I was 5. Oh, wait, that was my IQ. 30 years. You know what? It's Brother Hawking and Mrs. Hawking, 62 years. It's good to have them in church. That's a good goal for all of us. My goal used to be, Lord, at least let me make it to 50 years, and then I'll go find someone else. No, 50 years. Live to 50 years. I'm like, I want 60. Now, she'll be pushing me in a wheelchair, I'm pretty sure. I'm not sure. And she might push me off a cliff or something. Say, has your marriage been perfect? No. Why? I could say something, but I won't. I'm not perfect. That's hard to believe, huh, Brother Ross? I'm not perfect. Okay? But has our marriage been happy? No. Yeah, it has been happy. Why? I think we've grown in it. I think we understand it. We're committed to each other and we love each other. And hey, if there's differences, there is nothing fatal. Some of you come, you let little things become fatal because you don't get over some of this stuff. And every little thing is well, you don't love, don't question that. Why? Scripture tells us. Let me read some verses. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Proverbs 18:22. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Now I know this, Solomon believed that verse because he found a wife about 1,000 times. Proverbs 31 verse 10 to 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of his life. It seems to me there's a bunch of verses we could throw out there. If we just kind of follow God's deal, marriage is good. It's not perfect. And quit watching the nonsense. Quit listening to love songs. Those aren't love songs. Those are lust songs. Okay? No one meets, and 3 days later, they're madly in love, and everything works out happily ever after. But marriage is a good thing. God endorses it. And by the way, the fact that you're in church means you're on the right step. You've got the first ingredient. Let's not listen to what the world says. Quit listening to your friends at work. I've been in enough place. I've worked in enough workplaces, and they sit there, well, you know, my old lady, I'll tell her this. I'm like, man, if I were to go to your house, you ain't telling her nothing. And there's the guy that's been married 4 times telling the guy who's on his first marriage, telling him, well, let me tell you how I would do it. How'd that work for you? You know, it's like the guy whose kid's in jail. I'll tell you how I raised my kids. Please don't. Okay? No, it's a good thing. Quit listening to it. Listen to what God says and follow his way. And you know what? You can look back and say, man, every year of marriage, it's been great. In our Sunday school class, whenever we have, we've had too many this month, but sometimes, you know, we'll get, how long have you been married? And they'll say, oh, we've been married 27 years. Like, how many of those were happy? You know the only correct answer, right? All of them. It's like, good answer. You're not sleeping on the couch tonight. But it's good. It should be for sure ever after, and it's definitely mostly happy. There are those times when you know, but you know what? Commitment gets you through that. The Lord gets you through that. It's not a big deal. The older you get, the more it's like, you know what? Yeah, we have our, but no, nothing's fatal. Allow your wife to have a bad day every now and then. Allow your husband to have a bad day every now and then. But listen, follow God's dictates. Be committed to the relationship, and it'll thrive under God's help. Let's all stand together this evening.